Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and we're talking moccasin and joke. Well, the party gonna hell. Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm not Tom. Just for everybody that hasn't been with us for a long time, we want to thank Marco Bill. He's been gone for quite some time now, but we chose to start the show with Marco because he was the one that he was the original co-host, and we miss him. Probably one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. No, you won't meet. Maybe later. He died several years ago, like I say. But we always remember him. And as for Tom, well, Tom has taken what is something that he's needed for some time. He's taken a vacation. And hopefully he's having as great a time as I hope he is. He turned the reins over to me and my number one sidekick, the Swede. You on Swede? Swede? I guess he's not on yet. We've kind of been under a burn ban here in Arkansas for some time now, and it finally rained. It rained for 2 days straight, and I always say that I won't be satisfied until my pond runs over. Well, my pond ran over. You there, Swede?
How can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I was just telling him about you was snoring. You was drinking some of Father Ray's Mont wine.
No, I think I was on mute. how's everybody? yeah, I'm doing good. Just got a little frog in my throat there. I was trying to get a little drink and shake it out. Yeah, I'm glad it rained. How about you, Rocky? We're still 6 inches behind, but, man, I'll tell you what, it's been dry, dry.
I've been 6 inches behind all my life.
right?
Sorry, I couldn't miss that one. Well,
who do
so
we got?
Far,
how's the? Who do we got
so
for
far
the show tonight?
So far, we've got the Kentucky Madman duo, which we're really, really glad that we have him.
Right.
He'll tell why here in just a few minutes. And we've got Lyndon. I'm still waiting for Chris.
Well, I was going to tell you,
I
spoke with Chris a little bit ago, and he's got technical difficulties with his phone. He will not be joining the show tonight. He has assured us that he will be back next Wednesday. And so I'm sorry if everybody's been anticipating it, but it's beyond our control with his mobile device. So anyhow, he'll be back, and we'll get to continue with some tales, and he's got a little bit to talk about, so that's all good. So we'll carry on without him, and we'll carry on without Tom, and they'll both be missed during tonight's show, but I'm sure we can handle it.
Well, if we can't handle it, we can always say we should have.
that's right. That's right.
I was telling everybody about our first co-host, Marco Bill. I can't remember what year he passed on. He had a hard time of it, but anyhow, we miss Marco. He was a great person, good co-host, just a great person all around.
Absolutely, I miss him.
Well, after he passed, we all got together and decided that the show wouldn't be the same without him. So we chose to go ahead and keep him. And, you know, that's for the people that haven't been with us long enough to remember. Remember him. And, you know, we've had some others, other co-hosts. And we had TJ for a while, and we had some others. We had some good ones, and we had some of the others. And then, you know, you have the greatness that me and the Swede are.
at least in our own minds.
Yeah, I'm not tooting my own horn. But, you know, we've also got, like I say, we've got the Kentucky Madman, and our duo has a story to tell. Are you there, Doyle?
Oh,
are you there, Doyle? Okay. I guess I'm going to have to load up the 44 Magnum and do the...
Reveille.
The Arkansas Reveille that he's so proud of. Oh, there we go. Doyle.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me, man. How you doing?
Buddy, at this point, I bet you wake me up with 10 Arkansas Reveilles a day. It's not been a good couple of weeks. What happened? I've been on a series of medications for different things, and I decided that I could doctor better than anybody else, so I quit taking my medications. Well, when I ran completely dry and depleted on those medications, apparently I was at the house, my boy James and my Carolyn must have, I don't know if they've seen me hit the floor or just started to hit the floor. I don't know. I don't remember. But I do remember waking up at a big old hospital there in Knoxville, Tennessee. What basically happened was they got me to another hospital in Claiborne County, Tennessee. Well, I don't know what's going on. I wake up a couple of weeks later here, and I just, today alone, I'm standing around doing my thing, waiting on my doctor's appointments and all that. And I get a phone call from my brother. And he says, you see heaven? And I said, what do you mean? He said, did you see heaven? And I said, no. I said, I haven't seen that. He said, you know, he said, that they coded you full-blown chest compression code for 22 minutes. And he said, they pronounced you dead. Well, my brother can exaggerate sometimes, being an Alkin, believe it or not. But I had my see today. He comes in, he says, how do you feel? I said, what do you mean? He said, how do you feel? He said, most people feel horrible. I said, well, I feel like, you know, I just got ran over by an Arkansas train. I said, why? He said, I've spoken to the doctors at the other hospital that transferred you here. He said, they done a complete code on you, 22 minutes. And he called the code. He said, it's over. Bag him up. So they're putting me into a body bag on the table. And they said, I come out of the bag.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was reliving being birthed again or if I was actually died. But when a doctor says put them in the bag, that tells me you're having a bad day.
That's right.
So anyway, we used to have no shirt song. Said, ain't no biscuits, no gravy gonna hold my biscuits down. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Ain't no body bag gonna hold the whole falcon down.
Well, we're glad that you got out of the bag, Doyle. We've been worried about you.
Well, I
don't do it no more. Don't do it anymore.
I didn't know all that had happened till today. Nobody was telling me. I guess people were scared to tell me. They'd afraid they'd sent me back in the bag.
Well, folks, we've got Doyle around so that the next time we're out in the woods, I will give him the Arkansas Reveille again.
Like I said, I ask you never do that again, but after living through something like I just did, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for you to come to Kentucky and wake me up twice.
Well, I want everybody to know that I tried to get hold of him last Wednesday, and I even threatened to come to Kentucky or Tennessee with my 44 Magnum to wake him up. And, well, little did I know, he was quite busy at the time. And, anyhow, we're glad he's back. We're glad he's back. And, like I say, don't do that no more.
Well, I don't plan on it.
Get well soon, Joel. Get some rest and get well.
I'm just glad that my boy finally let y'all know what was going on.
Well, I didn't actually find out what was going on until today. Or I heard it, but I guess I misunderstood what they were saying. Anyhow, we're glad you're back. And don't scare us like that no more.
Bye.
Okay.
I wouldn't scare us that bad.
Well, it's a scary feeling when you start slipping off. I did that not too long ago myself. Well,
yeah.
I want to thank you for calling
in. I'll be calling in again later. But right now, I can't say more than a few words. I'm so exhausted.
Well, I was fixing to say what you need to do is lay back and breathe.
Yeah,
that pneumonia. All right. And thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks,
Doyle. Listen in if you want.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I love them. God bless them. I'm sitting in the hospital right now with my boy and my Carolyn. I'm waiting on the doctor to bring me some nerve medicine.
Well, you get your breathing right, and know that we love you too, and that, you know,
We've been praying for you.
Absolutely.
And go ahead and
get feeling better.
Get go ahead and mute yourself out and listen. If you want to listen to the show, if you want to take a nap, we understand that too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doyle.
Oh, I'm currently waiting on my nurse to get hold of my doctor and get me some extra medicine so I can try to relax. It's been a real trying day today.
I bet it has. Well, go ahead and mute yourself out, and we'll talk to you again. And like I say, just breathe. It's fun. Good night.
Yeah. Good night. Good night, sweet.
Good night, Doyle. Hey, Rocky, maybe we
yes,
ought to
sir.
Take a little quick, we ought to probably have a little quick a commercial break there, and we'll come back, and we'll get Lyndon on there, and we'll chat it up with him just a little bit and see what's going on in his neck of the woods.
All right. That sounds good.
What do you think? All right.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show.
Uh-huh.
I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned. I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
And we're back.
Okay.
Now that we're back, what we need to do is tell everybody that you need to go to www.searchingforbigfoot.com and go to merchandise and check out the caps, the cool shirts, long sleeve and short sleeve, and all of the videos. Got some award-winning videos. Got some super cool T-shirts and caps. And y'all need to check them out and buy them out.
Now, and don't forget, it's fall time. You got the big Searching for Bigfoot coffee mugs. Don't forget.
I didn't know we had coffee mugs.
It's the, there's the insulated coffee mugs.
Cool.
Absolutely. Sounds good, don't it? Cup of coffee sounds good.
Speaking of the time of year and the weather and everything, it's deer season is rolling around. And all of you, all of the Bigfoot hunters, need to be extra careful while you're out there Bigfoot hunting or deer hunting or whatever you're doing, be extra careful out there, because there'll be people with bows and arrows out there. There'll be people with all kinds of firearms, and you don't want to be a statistic. So hunt carefully.
Keep your camera at hand so you can get you some footage, send it in to the searchingforbigfoot.com, and we can get your photographs posted on the website for everybody to check out. And that's a lot of fun. Keep your camera close at hand. The videos are from the cell phones are so great nowadays, and the phones are so got great cameras, and everybody knows how to use them, except me. And
me.
Catch what you can, even if you don't get that. There's always cool stuff to take some shots and video of, and from the deer stand, always see something. So keep it close at hand. You never know when the big hairy guy might just show up from behind the tree, peeking around there, see what you're doing, and you can snap you a picture. We would love nothing better than to look them over and share them with the rest of the world. So there you go. Be safe. Like Rocky said, it's hunting season, muzzleloading. Bow season's in full force here. The first muzzleloading season's winding down. This next weekend, starting private property doe hunting, or antlerless deer, they say. So there'll be a weekend of that. And then the following weekend is the youth hunt for 16 and unders. And then it starts into full-blown rifle season for 3 weeks. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of activity in northwest Arkansas in the hunt world with the deer hunting. And we'll probably hear a little bit of this and that. We're not going out on any specific just wild researching right now, because there is a lot of people in the woods. They spend a lot of time planning for this, and we don't want to mess up their hunts or get messed up doing it. So, yep, there you go.
And another thing that the Arkansas Fish and Game say, they say bag them, tag them, and have them tested.
Yep. Check for the chronic waste in northwest Arkansas.
That's right.
The chronic waste.
And now then, why don't we go to a little further east of me, and talk to Lyndon. You there, Lyndon?
Yes, sir. How is everybody tonight?
I think everybody's doing great now that we found out that Doyle's not dead.
Well, God bless him.
Absolutely. That's what we said. Mm-hmm. We said a lot of other stuff about him, but, you know, we kind of got to. Everybody's got to have a Doyle.
I hear you. Well, fellas, I'm confused.
Okay. If you're confused, you're in with the right crowd. We are too. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I need to carry a coat or a fan, because one day it's in the 80s and down to the 60s in the low, and the next day it's in the 50s and down to the 30s in the low.
Welcome,
and then it goes back
Arkansas.
Up to the 80s. So.
Welcome to Arkansas. Yeah, everybody talks about, you know, their state has four seasons. Well, ours does too, but they have all four in a week.
That is very true. It's amazing, but I will say I have just enjoyed fall coming on the trees. You talk about the forest and Bigfoot, but the trees are just so beautiful this year. The golds and the reds and the browns and they just everywhere you look, and one angle of the mountain is a red and then the next angle it's a gold. It's just incredible vistas of the fall color coming in. awesome.
You're right.
It seems like after that rain hit, it kind of intensified it a little bit more. It's been so dry and brown looking. The rain has really helped it, don't you think, Lyndon? It looks a lot better in the woods to me.
It does, and I've noticed that the ground covering is disappearing. It's the cold is chasing it away, and I can see twice as far through the forest now as I could say a month ago. Which of course,
oh, yeah,
gives better visibility, gives you better trackability on Bigfoot or you know, deer or whatever you may be hunting. But
you bet. Frost has a way of opening those woods up, don't they?
sure does, and it never amazes me that you'll never see what you're going to see when you expect to see it. Coming out of Fayetteville the other night, and it was around, I don't know, probably around 7 o'clock because it was dark, getting dark, and long line of traffic, a two-lane highway, but still right in the suburban area. And I'm driving along, and right on the shoulder, in the fog line, is a full-size 10-point deer sitting, you know, with its head up in the air on the fog line. And, of course, everybody's out in the woods hunting, right, for one of these. Here it is sitting next to the road. Now, I'm going to guess maybe it got hit or something. I don't know, but it's just, you look out and there it is, and you're kind of like, everybody was stunned because you just don't see that every day.
No, you don't see it every day. I figure up there at the mountain, up there at your place, up there, it's starting to open up in the woods. We were just, me and Rocky were talking about it last week, and I'm glad you're feeling better. When I talked to you, you said you had a little bad spell there, wasn't feeling so good. I'm glad you're feeling better. You sound great. I hope that everything's going good for you over there. And have you heard any vocalizations or any tree knocks or anything like that coming off the, bouncing around off the mountain there in the cool weather?
Well, it's quieted down. I have been a little busy. So I've been away from the home quite a bit, but I'm digesting on what kind of migration patterns might be, you know, occurring right now, you know, with Bigfoot. And, as it's getting colder here, are they going to go, you know, to a warmer zone, or, you know, are they going to rough it out? It's hard to say, really, but it's been quiet on my property so far.
Me and the Swede have an area that we've been going to for decades. And in the summertime, in August, my wife always says, how can you go out there and sit out there in the woods in this kind of heat? Well, just right down down the hill a little ways, it's 10 degrees cooler than it is up above. But at the same time, wintertime roll around, and there's other spots that we can go to that is much, much warmer. And it's not the weather, it's the layout of the land that, the heat beats down in some spots that when it's not hitting anywhere else. At the same time, during the summer, it just stays cooler. And we have a place that we call it the Blue Hole. It's a little spring-fed pond. I mean, a little spring-fed creek. We go down there during the summer, and you put a watermelon in there, it definitely stays cool. You can't walk. You can't dangle your feet off in it, because if you do, you freeze your toes off. But we've talked about that a number of times. If we had to live like the creatures live, that area that we go to, I would see no need in going cross country, overland, or any of that stuff. I just, if it was cold, just go up on the hill, and if it's hot, just go down to the bottoms. We've got, I mean, it's the perfect Bigfoot place, if you ask me. You got water, lots of water, sometimes more water than you can deal with, but it's got food year round. We've talked about that, you know, if it came to living like that, why would we live anywhere else? Because, well, we got trapped on between the creek. That was a story from way back when. We had a major downpour while we were away from our four-wheelers. And when we tried to get back to our four-wheelers, all of a sudden the water had come up to the point that we could see the four-wheelers, but we couldn't get across the water. And so we went back to the east, and, well, we couldn't go but just a little ways because the water was coming around there too fast. We tried north and south, and that's where the water was splitting and coming around, and then below us, it was coming back together. So we were basically on an island, and we were there for 7 days. And we ate pretty good. Now, there was much fewer animals on that island when we left than there was when we first got there. We had all kinds of delicacies out there. A big coon, cooked a big coon, buried it in. We got us a good bed of coals and wrapped that coon in sassafras leaves and all that, and covered it, threw it on the coals and covered it back up, and the next morning, you talk about some fine fare. Now, Bill Boy from New York thought we was crazy for eating a coon, or in his language, it was a raccoon. We have coons here in Arkansas. But anyhow, we've... as far as the migration, I think these the ones in that particular area, they have places where they can stay warm and dry. They've got scads of food. They've got a little slice of heaven there. And I think probably their migration is just from one little area to another.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Rocky, since we had that really cold, that in Linden, we had that big cold snap where it got down pretty cold, and we had that killing freeze here, I don't know, a week ago. And, you know, it put the herd on. It put all the grass dormant. It froze all the stuff. You know, when it comes to all the fruits, which would be, which would be late fall stuff like persimmons and all of that's been froze off and done. So all that, all the berries, all that stuff that was available the week before is gone. In my mind, I would see that there would be a slight change in pattern to where the creatures are probably hitting the white oak flats right now. And and gathering nuts and eating a lot of acorns and that type of thing. Maybe visiting the creeks and doing a little fishing. And then, of course, there's always the venison fair, you know. Maybe doing a little bit more hunting than just the fruit eating. And I would suspect that that's probably what's happened if you haven't heard anything or seen anything directly as high as it was happening. I think there's been a little change since the frost. And it's happened with all the critters. I see, you know, you see it in the deer, you see it in everything. The food pattern has changed a little bit since the hard frost. And I don't think that they've left your territory completely, but they may have just moved on to a different food source, and they're still in the general vicinity, I assure you. They're not, if they haven't left by now to Florida, or, you know what I mean, if they haven't packed up and snowbirded on out of here, they're planning on staying. So keep your ears and your eyes open, because it's, you know, there's keep your cameras ready. I was going to ask you too, did you ever get your cameras rigged up?
No, I've got 8 of them that I am installing now. So
nice.
I'm trying to run some of them deeper into the forest in case they kind of go around, you know, my homestead. And
right.
And back to the migrating, you know, if they do have families, which many of them seem to have, you just can't pack up and run. We humans can't do that, and they can't do that as a family unit either. So that is true that they're going to be pretty stuck in the area that they have domiciled. So it is a transition of food and condition. So we as Bigfoot hunters have to kind of put that in our equation, so that we can come up with, you know, the solution that works for the time of year.
That's absolutely right. You
absolutely.
Can't, if you see, you know, that's just like any other hunt. You see different kind of patterns that start to evolve, and most of those patterns are mostly seasonal. And once you kind of get caught on to the seasonal patterns, you know, me and Chris were talking about that just the other day with his situation where he's at in the world there, where his funnel is. He's got the geographical part of his thing is the funnel, where as winter comes, they come down off the mountain where the greener pastures are, where it's frozen snowy up on top, they start to move down, and he's right there in that funnel. And you catch on to these things. It may be on a little bit more of a micro thing here with us, but the food source, you know, like those berries and the persimmons and the pawpaws are gone, all that, the plums have all froze off. You know, they're moving on there, but there's lots of acorns, you know, to be picked up. And I assure you that that anything in the woods that would you know, would work on those acorns, that's a super duper thing of protein. And you know, everything eats them, and I'm sure there's competition with deer and whatnot, but you would think that if all the fruit got gone, you're going to have to move, you may have to move over 100 yards to the oak tree flats and work on that for a little bit. So you're right, Lyndon. I think observation and just paying attention, we need to adapt to that. It's not like a migration across town right now. If they're already here in October, they're probably not going to leave in November. If they were going to leave, they would have already done it.
The thing is, like you said, there's always the venison. There's always wild hogs.
Sure.
We got lots of hoofed protein out there in the woods that, you know, they have. They're out there hunting just like we are.
Mm-hmm. There may be.
We carry guns.
Right. There may be a certain amount of purely nocturnal stealth that goes on during the deer hunting season, And I think that that probably is something that they've learned, that we're all out there doing the deer hunting thing. And I think that they know that, you know, I think that they're intelligent enough to know when they start hearing people stomping around out there in the woods and stuff, they know it's time to go plumb nocturnal. And I think they lay up during the daytime and do their thing at night when there's nobody out there. But after the deer season winds down, like me and Rocky, we've done a lot of research and a lot of expeditions in January after the deer season is shut down. There's always something going on. And I think they kind of get back into a little bit more relaxed state after the deer season's over with. And it's extremely cold because there's just not a lot of people out there stirring around. You know, in the deep woods, you might be in the parks and some of the trails and hiking trails and stuff like that. And they're kind of used to seeing, I would think that they would be used to seeing that kind of activity. But in the deer woods and stuff, as that wanes down after deer season, it just makes sense to me that there would be a lot more activity, maybe during the daylight hours and not so much nocturnal. But you'll be hearing stuff if they're around there. I hope that you can gather up some photos and just be vigilant and listen. You know, I don't remember if you told me you had audio on yours or not, Lyndon. But if you do, that'd be great, man. You'd be surprised what you can hear in the night, what it might pick up on. You may get some great vocalizations recorded. That would be awesome.
Well, that reminds me just a quick story. I have audio on the ones out towards the back, and I was sure that I had a cricket in the house because I kept hearing crickets. And so I'm looking under the chairs and, you know, behind the refrigerator, all that stuff, and it was the audio on the camera where the crickets are coming.
Oh, wow, it's picking up the cricket. That's awesome.
So you got to get used to it, you know.
Well, if you're hearing the cricket, if it'll pick up on a cricket, it'll surely pick up on something howling or, you know, whooping.
Well, there's a lot of crickets out there.
Me and Doyle and TJ, and I can't remember who else was with us. We were out in that little area that I was talking about that me and the Swedes been going to for so long. And Doyle hadn't been retired from the police force for all that long, so he was kind of a night owl. And everybody had gone to bed besides me and Doyle. We were sitting there talking, and just all of a sudden, I mean, I noticed it right away, but all of a sudden there was just total silence other than Doyle. And I mean, all the crickets, all the bugs, everything, it just went silent. And all of a sudden, something probably 50 yards away sounded off. I've lived in Arkansas all my life. I've spent half my life out in the woods. But this was a sound that I'd never heard before. Well, Doyle said, "Rocky, what was that?" And I said, "Doyle, I have no idea." And he said, "No." He said, "That's not the answer I was looking for. You're supposed to know what's out here." And I said, "Well, I know everything but that." Anyhow, so... yeah, he stayed up for the rest of the night. Anyhow, the next night it rained, so we actually got some sleep. And then the night after that, me and Doyle and TJ were all up. And we were talking, Lord knows about everything. And all of a sudden, whatever it was, sounded off again. Well, unbeknownst to us, Tommy was recording what we were saying, and when that thing made its presence known, Tommy got that on. He recorded it, and he sent the recording to a university in Nevada, and one in California. And the one in California didn't know about the one in Nevada, and the other way around. He did it in a way that nobody could, you know, use a cheat sheet. Anyhow, when he got the results back, both of them, both universities, said that it was a simian. Well, we have people in Arkansas that some of them look pretty simian, but we don't actually have monkeys and apes in Arkansas. And but they both had, I mean, the result was the same from both universities. So that being said, yes, keep the audio on.
Absolutely.
If you can't get the picture, get the noise.
You bet.
And, go ahead.
I like to keep cameras going 24/7 so that they will pick up audio, you know, as it happens. But sometimes the cameras compete for the recording unit, and it might be that a rabbit has stimulated one camera on one side, and it's concluding its 15-second cycle, and so the other camera doesn't activate, and so there's a little bit of the dynamic of the operation of the system. But I'd like to add, just for your listeners, that I can't think of a more, I don't want to say frightening, but a more serious situation than being in the forest and that forest going quiet. You just have to experience it. You're suddenly surrounded by nothing, no noise whatsoever. And, you know, as a seasoned woodsman, you know that that's a sign. Something is out there triggering the insects to go into a caution mode, a quiet mode. And it's something you have to experience. It just raises the hair on the back of your neck and immediately commands your attention.
It definitely will.
A lot of people. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people probably in our listening audience haven't had that ability to hear that where they're at. And so just to help them understand more that how the dynamics can change just in a way of silence, much less a snap or a growl or a stone being thrown, just sudden silence is as or more dramatic than the other events.
You're absolutely right. That's a good point. You know, sometimes nothing is more, and if you experience that, you having said that, Lyndon, if anybody's, you know, to the listeners out there, if you experience that, look around. There's a reason. I mean, you can be in this use. Some, like my first experiences with that was like squirrel hunting. You know, back when me and Rocky go squirrel hunting, then all of a sudden, all the squirrel barking would immediately cease, and there was absolutely no movement because that's what you were focused on, all the squirrels in the trees. Well, you looked around, you couldn't figure out, why is it so quiet? What happened? And then you look, and, you know, 50 yards over to the left, there's the red tail flies out of the tree and that's been sitting there. And those, all the critters knew that that bird of prey, that hawk, was there. And they all just immediately stopped and got quiet. So whenever, when all that happens, like you said, it's a hair-raising event. When everything quits, you know there's something real big and predatory there. If it all quits, gets quiet. So, yeah, keep your eyes open. You may see something, you know, you need to be aware when it gets like that. I think you're absolutely right.
Well,
I know.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, no, I know that ahead. That's a big sign for me. So, thank you. Thank you for, I do want just to add one thing if I can. Wherever you are, Tom, we miss you and God bless you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you did that. That saved me the, no, Tom will be back next week. And hopefully Joel will be better. Joel will be on. Maybe we can get Chris on. I want to thank everybody for calling in. We appreciate you. Like I say, don't forget to check the merchandise on our website. Doyle, practice your breathing. It'll get better. Lyndon, I didn't have a chance to earlier, but I want everybody to check out The Return of Gigantopithecus, A Warning to Mankind by Lyndon Graves. It's a great read. You need to do it. Swede, thanks for coming on.
No problem, buddy.
Well, got to have backup.
You know it.
And
always
think,
there.
I know you are, and I appreciate it. Okay, I want to tell everybody thank you. See you back here next Wednesday. Everybody be ready for Tom, because when he gets back, he'll be all rested up, and it'll be on.
Yeah,
good night, everybody.
Thanks, Lyndon, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll talk. Have a good evening, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Have a good evening.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're together.